Amen. What an awesome reminder that God is working on all of us and that we are indeed His original masterpiece. Man, thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Carl, for leading us in that. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John, chapter 13. Oh, we couldn't have had a better setup for today's scripture than what we just did. This whole last 6 weeks, we have been talking about the signs of life, and we've talked about how when Jesus comes into our life, into our heart, He makes us alive because of what He did on the cross. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross to give us life, forgive us of our sins, to be our substitute on the cross. And because of that, we are to live an active life, an active spiritual life, an active life that honors God and glorifies God. We've had a theme verse throughout this whole campaign, and it's been our memory verse. And I want us to read that this morning. It's in your notes. And I want us to look at this, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. We're preaching from John 13, but this is our memory verse, Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Let's say it together. Are you ready? Philippians 2, 14 through 15. You ready? Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Let's just read the very first phrase together one more time. Just the first phrase from Philippians 2, 14. You ready? Do everything without grumbling and arguing. See, when we live the Christian life, God is calling us to be active in our life, to have spirituality in us that reflects Jesus, that is full of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's going to require us to do lots of things for Jesus Christ. Because we are saved and born again, we're going to be doing great things for the Lord. And when we do great things for God, we can't have the spirit of arguing or complaining or grumbling amongst us. We can't have it. That's not the way Jesus wants us to live. And you know what? I've been so proud of this church. Over the last 6 weeks of this campaign, as we have focused on the signs of life, asking ourselves, are you alive? We have seen God do such amazing things. On the very first day of the campaign, we saw something that was amazing. We had people, it was not prompted, it was not scripted, it was not staged. It was real and it was legit. We had people get up in something that is so rare that few of us had ever seen, get up and literally confess sin publicly out loud on a microphone in this church. And when that happened, it was absolutely amazing. People asked for people's forgiveness that morning in the church. And God did that. The Holy Spirit did a great work and God moved. Throughout this campaign, not only did we see spiritual awakening and renewal during this campaign, we also saw us doing things for the Lord to help people. Many of us, I jokingly said, we're not asking for your money, but we are asking for your blood. We had many people give blood, literal blood, to the blood bank. Who donated some veins? Some stuff came out of their veins. Hey, what was the final count, Michelle? Do you remember how much we got? Still collecting. Do you know how much it is thus far? 30-ish donors that donated blood. Isn't that phenomenal today? That Life Community has saved. And I think they said that everybody that donates blood, that's about an equivalent of 3 lives that are saved. Isn't that phenomenal? Throughout that time, we not only did that, we also have donated shoes. And man, there's even more shoes today. Last week, many of you all left without shoes on your feet. We literally gave shoes that were on your feet to the gospel. We are going to be giving these shoes, the children's shoes, to the Burmese children that are in our local community. But let me tell you about the shoes that you donated that are adult shoes. Would you like to hear where they're going? We have 2 missionaries that I'm aware of that are serving in Guamaca, Honduras. They are the Luke family. And the Luke family, listen to this, their ministry in Guamaca, Honduras is in several different areas of that area. And they work with the hospital clinic there. They see patients from Guamaca and the surrounding communities. In addition to seeing patients, the wife of the missionary couple of the Luke family, Mrs. Luke, leads the staff in devotional on Tuesday mornings each week. The hospital staff are all Honduran, and Laura Luke gives the devotional in Spanish. Laura has also established a pediatric fund there in Guamaca. Two examples of the fund's purpose are to help families who cannot afford medicines that are needed to treat their child and to help families who don't have enough money to travel to Tegucigalpa, the capital, for appointments with specialists for their children. You ready for this? The shoes that you gave for adults last week that was on your shoes will be worn by the parents of those programs. So when they take their children to the hospital for major work, they have comfortable shoes to wear as they're traveling to Tegucigalpa, Honduras. Isn't that amazing? So some of you all that donated shoes off to your feet, they will literally probably be worn until they are no more. Isn't that amazing? Throughout this campaign, we have seen God do an amazing work in our spirits. We received an amazing gift from a sister church that desired to be a legacy church. And man, what an amazing gift that was that we are going to use for the glory of God. And if we have seen just the Holy Spirit move in our lives and tug on us and grow us, and I love the skit, it was so wonderful. God has been chiseling us this entire 6 weeks. He has been working on us and shaping us and molding us to be the kind of church that is really alive. Not just with dynamic, energetic worship services, but to be a people that are in the community serving. And I believe God is going to do a great work when we move over to the Breckenridge and Parrish Avenue. I believe there's a whole community that we as a church can get into and love and show the love of Jesus and help people. Amen. And I believe this campaign that we experienced over these last 6 weeks, that was God's way, which was planned months and months before even the fire happened, that God used this campaign for training us and teaching us to be ready for what He had for us. You know, as we are studying the signs of life and we look at all of this, I want us briefly today to look at the last one. We've talked about a pulse. We've talked about rolled up sleeves, worn out knees. We've talked about open hands. We've talked about all kinds of dusty shoes. But here's what I want to close this campaign with this morning on. Simply a compassionate life of outstretched arms. Jesus told us this on the last night before He was betrayed, and at the Last Supper, He had His disciples together. John records it in chapter 13, starting in verse 31. And that night, to set up the picture, the Last Supper's going on. They're hanging out with each other. When Jesus had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him." They're leaving the supper. They're going to the garden. They're walking. And He says, if God is glorified in Him, that's Jesus, God will also glorify Him in Himself and will glorify Him at once. Children, I am with you a little while longer, because just in a few hours, the process would begin where Jesus would be drug off and would stand before courts, and He would stand before the governor, and He would be crucified. You will look for Me, and just as I told the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. He would die on the cross for our sins. And this is what He tells His people. This is what He tells them before the cross. This is what He leaves them before the events of the cross happens. He says, "So now I tell you, I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you're My disciples, if you have love for one another." The amazing words that Jesus would say before He goes in the garden to begin praying and the events happen is simply this. He tells His disciples what? To love each other. To love each other. And I feel that if for us to be a really, to truly be a living church, we must be full of love today. And we must be full of God's love. There's three things I want you to see about this passage quickly today. First, that when you love people, I am obedient to Jesus when I love. Remember what he said. He says, I give you a new commandment. And you know what a commandment is? A commandment is something that you are to obey. The Old Testament had given lots of commandments about how to treat your neighbor and how to respect people. And Jesus just sums it all up and he says simply this, love one another. The commandment I give you is encompassing everybody and is simply love one another. And that one another would be very critical in the new community that was coming, the new spiritual community that was coming at Pentecost, which would be called the church. That they were to love each other within the church. But that love is just simply to be a mark of all of his disciples. See, friends, if we don't have love and we aren't choosing to love people, if we aren't making the conscientious decision to love people, we will be disobedient to Jesus. Many of us think that so many times our other obligations, our commitments outweigh love. I'm reminded of the Good Samaritan and how the man that was beaten on the side of the road, he had two church people pass him by before the Samaritan came. The two church people were more than likely on their way to do religious duties. But yet it was the Samaritan who stopped and had love. Today, if you aren't choosing to love people, now hear me on this, that doesn't mean that we compromise our message. It doesn't mean that we lose our voice. But it does mean that we do the things we've been doing for a lifetime, that we've done this campaign, that we seek forgiveness from one another, that we are humble, that we stay humble, that we pray, that we sacrifice not just financially, not just physically, but even spiritually, that we sacrifice for Jesus and we'll be obedient to God. If you don't have love in you, you'll never be obedient. You've got to love people. Because Jesus said, you know, somebody said one time, they said, I like church. I would just like it better if it wasn't for the people. Well, get this, you don't get an option. There's no choice. One of the reasons God puts us together with different types of people, different environments of people, and he puts us all in the same room together, and he says, guess what? Your goal is to love each other, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy the show. That's God's plan. It's his plan. So we understand that we can never be obedient Christians if we don't love. But second, I love because Jesus loves. Look what he says. He says, I'm telling you, he says, children, you look for me. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must also love one another. Friend, if you have bitterness in your heart, resentment in your heart, grudges in your heart, unforgiveness in your heart. Have you forgotten that Jesus is constantly giving you grace, giving you forgiveness, giving you, he's patient with you, giving you peace when you don't deserve it? Kenny, I would love to love people, but they don't do loving things. I get it. But you know what? In the grand scheme of things, when God looks at us, we don't really do a lot of loving things to God, do we? I mean, yeah, sure, we'll sing his praises on church on Sunday morning and we'll play the part. But what about our daily devotion with God? Do we fail in that? Do we fail in our scripture readings? Do we fail in our daily commitments to God? Of course we do. But God never ceases to love us. Likewise, because he loves us, I'm reminded that people in this community, in this Christian community, will let me down. That there will be people in this room that will do things and I step back and say, man, I wish they wouldn't have done that. Or man, that was a relapse. Or man, that was really disappointing. But then I think about this, that you know what? The reality is I'm probably going to do stuff too that people are going to think, man, Kenny is such a disappointment today. Kenny really botched it today. He really blew it. One thing I can promise you is that you're going to let me down, and and I'm going to let you down because we're human beings. But the reality of it is that that doesn't stop us from loving each other. Jesus, we continually let Jesus down. And he went to the cross to die for us knowing that we would continually let him down. I'm just thankful today I'm not saved by my works, but I'm saved by his grace today. Why do we love people? Because he loves us. Third, I make Jesus known through love. Very important. He says this, he says, by this all people will know you're my disciples. The distinguishing mark of the disciples would be that they would be loving people. They would love people. Again, they would preach the word. Loving people does not mean, I don't know where we get this in our church culture, that if you love people, you can never preach the truth. You can never stand up for what you believe in. That's kind of hogwash. That's not truth. Because really, when you speak the truth, you know what? You're loving somebody as opposed to sugarcoating it or not telling the truth. Sometimes there will be hard sermons, but at the reality of that is that when we do preach, it should always be in love. The distinguishing mark of the church, the picture of the church today, is that we're known by our love. But sadly, how many people in this community would say, you know what, when I drive by a church, I think of a group of a loving people? We don't think that a lot, do we? We think, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites over there. There's a bunch of people that's mean. A bunch of people that come in to eat in my restaurant, gripe and complain, tip me hardly anything, then invite me to church on a Sunday morning. There's lots of distinguishing marks of Christianity, and sadly, the one mark that it should be that we are known by our love is so lacking. So lacking. What if when we move over there to Parrish and Breckenridge, what if we become such a force of love that when folks walk through that parking lot and they're walking back and forth, they say, man, that's the place you need to be, because that's the place that loves this community. That's the place that loves this community. A lot of folks on foot over there, and let me tell you something, you don't need to just be jumping in your car and hiding. You need to be engaging. You need to talk to those folks. And you know what? You need to see them as real people that Jesus died for. Listen, some of you all are thinking, man, we're going to be getting a building and we're going to be looking good. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't seen messy ministry yet. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not leading this church to look bells and whistles. I'm not leading this church to look like we're high and mighty and tutti-frutti, all right? We're going to do ministry. We're going to help people. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if the whole place reeks of alcohol, because everybody we went and got off the street just got done boozing. We're going to bring them. We're going to bring them. And I'm just telling you, there's going to be some weird stuff. Hold on to your shoes, literally, this time, all right? Hold on, because you're going about to jump out of them. My prayer for this church is that we will be known as Life Community. That's a place that loves people. That's a place that loves people. And why do we love? 1 John tells us the reason why. Does anybody remember? We love because he first loved us. Amen? Why are we a community of love? If we really are connecting, caring, and changing. Amen? Connecting people to Christ, caring for people, and then changing the world through missions. If that's really what we're about, love has to permeate all throughout that. It has just got to reek of love. Because we'll never connect people to Jesus if we don't love them. We'll never care for people if we don't love them. We'll never sacrifice for missions and be missionaries in our community and around the world if we don't love people. My challenge today is that because Jesus loved us first by laying down his life and sacrificing his life for us, that we will be known as a community of love. But I, as a pastor, can't wave the magic love wand. You're all loving today. I can't do that. For us to be a loving church, it means that individually you have to make a decision to be a loving Christian. Now, when all of you begin to make those decisions together, that I'm going to be loving personally, you know what happens? You get a loving church. But if you're waiting for the church to be loving without you making the commitment to love, guess what? It ain't going to happen. Because we are the church. We have just got to personally say, I'm going to be a loving person. But you know why many of us don't love, and it goes back right back to Carl and Bruce's skit, is because we don't believe that we are loved. We don't believe God could ever love us with all of our faults and sins and habits and hang-ups. We don't believe God could ever love us. But remember the context. Jesus was going to the cross. And he was going to die for Peter. For Peter, who would deny him that he ever knew Jesus in just a few hours. Here in a few moments, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And I could not think of a better way today for us to close the campaign and then before we begin a new series and new sermons than for us to celebrate in communion today. But before we do that this morning, I just want Taryn to come, if she would. I believe in spiritually preparing ourselves for the Lord's Supper, that we get right with God. And there are some people today that may need to do a few things before they're ready to take communion. First, if you are not a born-again Christian, you do not need bread and juice. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to admit to God that you're a sinner, and you need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again from the dead, and you choose to follow him. That happens by surrendering your life. It's the easiest thing and then also the hardest thing, because it's simply coming to Jesus for his free gift, but it's leaving behind the former way of living, repenting of sin and coming to Christ. Some of you all today, you don't need bread and juice. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You need a personal relationship with Jesus. Some of you all today are Christians, and you're about to take the Lord's Supper with other Christians, your other family, your other church family. And you need to make the commitment that you're going to be a loving church member. That you're going to love people and care for people. Not just in word, but in deed as well. Just like we've done for the last 6 weeks. Word and deed. Making the commitment. So Taryn is just going to play. And I'm going to ask Jerry to hit the lights. You don't have to stand. But we're going to have just a time of reflection in our spirits, just right where you're seated at. You know, if you want to come to the altar, you can. Now, there are a few people today that need to confess their faith because we're going to baptize later. And they maybe need to come forward in this quiet time and to say, I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm coming today. Or I need to join the church today. Maybe some of you all today need to say, I need to unite with the church. And this is the time for you to do that when I pray and when we begin to play quietly. That's the time for you to come. So many things can happen in this moment. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you know Jesus, maybe it's time to reflect. Maybe you need to confess your faith by coming forward. Or maybe you need to unite with the church by coming forward. So I want you to bow your heads as we begin to reflect. First, let me talk to those that don't know Christ. Oh, how Jesus loves you. Maybe today, if you could say, Kenny, I don't know where I'm going when I die. If I was to die today, I'm going to split hell wide open. Or I'm just ambiguous. I have no idea. But I want to trust in Jesus. I want to trust in Christ that he died on the cross as my substitute. And I'm turning from my sin to trust in Jesus. Kenny, how can I be saved? Open the door of your heart. Pray this prayer with me if you've never prayed this before. Right there in your seat. Those that don't know Jesus. Dear God, I am a sinner. I'm tired of my sin. But I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he took my sin upon himself. I believe he rose again. I invite you into my life. Come into my life and save me. Thank you for saving me. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, I would never embarrass anybody. And Life community members, I would invite you, don't peek, just keep your eyes closed, okay? Pray for the folks. If you did that today, if you trusted in Jesus for the very first time as your Lord and Savior, would you just slip your hand up? Nobody will come to you or point you out, but just let me know as the pastor that you invited Jesus into your heart for the very first time today. Would you just raise your hand? I see you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. You can put your hand down. God bless you.